The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Lamed Chet. Today's daf is being studied the audio Nishmat of Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechanu Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Fuah Shelema, Shelomo ben Miriam, Sarah Bat Rachel, Gabriel, Shaul, Shaul Chai Gabriel ben, Sarah Yosef ben Sarah, Elna referring to him. إن رفعنا لهم إلا رفعنا فت النفس وفت الجوف وتم كرب الله بوف خني رسوم ونمار آمين. We begin today's daf on the mitchep on the rishon, four lines from the top. Gemara begins ויאמר השם אל משה הנה אנוכי בא אליך בעב הענן. אמר רבי חמא ברבי חנינא, that's what we're starting from. אמר רבי חמא ברבי חנינא, לא יעשיר משה אלא מפסולתן של לוחות. משה לבנו became wealthy from the shavings of the luchot, pesultan shel luchot, which means when they chiseled it, the chiselings we'll call that, of the tablets. The tablets were made out of sapphire stone. When they chiseled it, God told them he can keep it. Shnei emar pesol lecha shnei luchot abanim kerishonim pesultan shelcha. Pesol lecha, the psolet, the chiselings belong to you. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina lo nita tura ela leMoshe ulzaro. Originally, the Torah was only given only to Moshe Rabbeinu and his direct descendants. Shnei Emar, Ketov Lecha, Pesol Lecha, Ma Pesultan Shecha, just like the chiselings were just to Moshe, Af Ketavcha, Ketavan Shecha. So to the writing of the Torah itself was originally given to just Moshe Rabbeinu. So comes Gemara and says, "Moshe nahag ba tovat ayin." Moshe Rabbeinu was very generous. Then atna li Yisrael, and then he generously gave it over to Klal Yisrael. Ba'alav v'katuv omer tov ayin hu yevorach. Moshe Rabbeinu was blessed. Why? Because he gives us the he gives us the Torah. According to this understanding, Torah was given really exclusively for Moshe Rabbeinu. But why did he share it with us? So Moshe Rabbeinu is considered a tov ayin. Mativ Rav Chisda ve'oti siva Hashem ba'etahi lelamed etchem. You have a clear pasuk that says that pasuk writes that Moshe Rabbeinu says, and God commanded me at that time lelamed etchem, to teach you. So you see clearly that I was given initially to Moshe to give to Bnei Israel. Ve'oti siva ve'ani lachem. So read the pasuk. No, God commanded me ve'ani lachem, and me on my own gave it to Klal Yisrael. Gemara has another question. Limati etchem chukim u'mishpatim ka'asher sivani Hashem Elohai. So again the pasuk says, limati etchem, behold, I taught you chukim u'mishpatim, laws, ka'asher sivani Hashem Elohai, just like God commanded me. So you see the pasuk is saying what? The Moshe Rabbeinu did teach Klal Yisrael. And that was, it seems, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gemara says, no. Oti siva. God commanded me initially, v'ani lachem, and I subsequently gave it over to Klal Yisrael. So again, that was on his own. V'ata ketvu lachem et hashira hazot. Pasuk says, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, write over the shira. Now we're assuming the shira is what? The Torah. Write over the Torah and give it over to Bnei Yisrael. Gemara says, no. Hashira lehuda. Just what Gemara says, no, it's just Parashat Azinu. The Shira, write them the Shira, give them this Parashat Aziru. That's called the Shira. Lema antiyeli Hashira zot le'ed b'bnei Yisrael. Gemara says, can't be just Aziru. Says, write them over this Shira, and this is going to be a testimony for Bnei Yisrael. Now we say a testimony, it means the whole Torah. You can't just say Parashat Aziru is going to be a testimony. Give the whole Torah to Klal Yisrael. So now we're back to the question. It seems that what? The Torah was given initially not only for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was given over to Moshe, to his descendants, for all of Klal Yisrael. So what did the initial statement mean when it says the Torah was only given to Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu was generous and he shared it with Klal Yisrael. So Gemara says, Ela pilpula be'alma, which means the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu some wisdom in order to understand the Torah on a deeper level. That was just for Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't have to give it over to Klal Yisrael. The laws and the mitzvot, of course, were given for Bnei Yisrael. Ela, like we saw in those pasukim above. But what was given over by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that was just the pilpul that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to Klal Yisrael. That's the Omek Halakha, the depth of the Halakha, and that was the Tovat Ayin that Moshe Rabbeinu shared with Klal Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Ere Kadosh Baruch Hu Meshle Shechinato. When God wants to put his rest, his Shekhinah, the divine presence, like Nivu'ah, he only puts his Nivu'ah on people that have certain qualifications. What are the qualifications in order to be a Navi? So it's Ela al Gibor. One, he has to be somebody that has strength, Gibor, physical strength. Ve'ashir, wealthy. Ve'hacham, intellectually, scholar. Ve'anav, and humble. Ve'chulan, ve'moshe. And all these traits we learn from Moshe. Gibor, dichtiv. How do Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibor? Because it says by Moshe. Vayifros et ha'ohel ala mishkan. Mishkan was made up of kerashim, right? You had the poles going all around. And then they covered it on top. The mishkan was covered with yiriot. Who covered the top of the mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now how long were these kerashim? So it says, how tall? Amar mor Moshe Rabbeinu parso. Moshe Rabbeinu did it. It says, vayifros et ha'ohel. Who's vayifros? Who covered the mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu did it himself. Uchtiv, ha'eser amot orech ha'keresh. Each keresh was 10 amot. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had to at least be 10 amot in order to cover the Mishkan. He had to be as high as the Kirashim in order to throw the covering over it. So we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibor. 10 amot is like 20 feet high. So therefore you have to assume that he was a Gibor. Because now who told you? Ema Darich Mekatin. Maybe he was long and skinny. Therefore you have no ayah just because he was tall, that he was necessarily strong. Ela menaden kira. Ela, we learn from the following pasuk. Dichtiv va'etpos b'shnei aluchot va'ashlichem me'al shtei yaday va'ashaberem. Moshe Rabbeinu took the luchot and he threw them down from the mountain and he broke them. And that was a feat of strength. The Gemara is saying why? V'tanya, we learned about the luchot orkan shisha. The length of the luchot were six tefachim. V'ruchban shisha. And they were also the width 6 tefachim, ve'obyan shelosha, and the thickness of them was shelosha, and therefore I made it out of sapphire stone, very heavy, very weightly, and therefore for Moshe Rabbeinu to throw them down, break them, that had to be with tremendous amount of kawah. So that's where you see the strength of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ability that he was able to shatter the luchot that were very heavy and very solid, stone. So that's why we know he was strong. Ashir, how do we know he was wealthy? Peso lecha, pesultan shelchayeh. Like we just learned, that the chiselings of the luchot, which were made out of sapphire, were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how he became wealthy. Hakam, how do we know he was a hakam? Rav Ushmael, the Amri Tarvayu, Hamishim, Share Bina, Nivru Ba'olam. There are 50 gates of wisdom that are created in the world. V'chulam nitnu leMoshe chaser achat. Moshe Rabbeinu reached all the gates of wisdom except one. Meaning he reached the 49th level. Shne'emar v'chaseru me'at meluhim. That he was just lacking me'at meluhim from the divine understanding. So it means he got the 49. That's how you know he's a chacham. Anav dechtiv v'aish Moshe anav me'od. Clear pasuk. So the Mefashim explain an interesting explanation. They say that the main midah of a prophet is really anava. That's the main midah. But in order to be humble, so you need to have all these other great qualities and then be humble about them. Which means all these other qualities, hacham, gibor, ashir, they make the person, they give the person an ability to become more humble. Because now that he has all these things, he has something to play down, something not to boast about. But if he doesn't have anything, if he's not successful, so what can be humble? What is he going to be humble about? So we want to really enhance his humility. So how does the enhancement of the humility take place? By giving him all the other qualities, the humility now becomes much more pronounced. Comes Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol hanevi'im ashirim hayu. All the prophets, they were ashirim. Now some say the prophet has to be ashir, so his words will be listened. Because many times, a person who has money, so the people listen to him. So that was one of the qualifications. Says all the prophets, they were wealthy. Minalan, mimoshe, umishimuel, me'amos, umiyona. Well, all those prophets that we just listed, we know that what? Prophets were actually wealthy, they had money. Moshe, dichtiv, what did it say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Lo chamor echad mehem nasati. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I didn't take even one hamor, one donkey from the people. So the Gemara wants to understand, what does it mean he didn't take even one donkey? Ibelo agra. If it means I didn't take a donkey without paying, lapuke mande shakal belo agra, what is he coming to exclude? Somebody that takes without getting paid, the guy's a thief. Which is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. I didn't take a donkey without paying for it. So what does that mean? Of course, who are you coming to exclude? Somebody that did take a donkey without paying for it, that guy's a thief. Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming to exclude himself from being a thief. Ela da'afilu be'agra. He's coming along and saying, even with paying, I didn't pay for a donkey. Which means what? He was wealthy, he didn't need it. So therefore you see what? And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is coming along to say, that he supported himself. He didn't have to even rent pay for a donkey. So the for transportation, obviously. So comes the Gemara and says, Dilma Mishum Da'ani Hava. You have no ra'ya. Maybe it's because he was poor. That's why he says he couldn't pay for a donkey from Kleister. So you have no ra'ya from Moshe Rabbeinu, that from that source that he was indeed rich. Maybe he didn't have the money to pay for the Besechirut. Right? So comes the Gemara and says, Ela min peso lecha. So we go back to the original proof. I didn't know Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy. From the pasuk of peso lecha, pesultan yeshetcha. The chiselings of the luchot, which were sapphire, are going to belong to you. Shemuel, I didn't know Shemuel was wealthy. Dichtiv, hineni anubi neged Hashem veneged Meshicho. So Shemuel makes a testimony. And what's the testimony that he makes? It's sure, let somebody answer me. It's sure mi lakachti. Whose short ox did I take? V'chamor mi lakachti. And whose donkey did I take? I didn't take anything from anybody. Now, ibehinam, again, if he's saying he took it for free, he didn't pay for them. Who's he coming to exclude? Somebody took it for free that didn't pay? That's a ganav. Ela da'afilu b'schar. Same point. I mean, he didn't even have to, he didn't pay. Gemara said, Dilma da'ani hava. No, same question back. Maybe he was poor. That's why he couldn't afford to pay for to rent a donkey. Or a short. How do you know Moshe Shmuel had money? Because the pasuk said, Utshuvato aramata. He would return to the place of Rama. Kisham beto. Because that's where his house was. So the Gemara says, V'amara v'kol makom she'alach beto imo. That everywhere Shmuel would travel, he traveled his house. He had all his belongings he had. His bed and his provisions. I mean, he didn't take anything from the people. He didn't need from the people. He was able to support himself when he would travel from city to city to give the rashot, things like that. Kisham beto. So if you see Moshe Shmuel, I must have had money. Amar Rava Gadol Mashneimar b'Shmuel Yoter Mashneimar b'Moshe. It's even greater what was said by Shmuel and Avi regarding his wealth, even more than Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu ketiv lo hamor echad mehim nasati. I didn't take one hamor from the people. Da'afilu b'sachar, which I didn't even pay for it, like we learned above. That way he didn't pay in between. Say that he didn't even have to pay for a donkey from the people, which means he had it. Which means the way they're learning over here. But if somebody would have done it for him, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu would have taken it. Because he didn't go and do it himself. But if it was given to him, you know, he would have taken it. However, afilu beratzon lo secharo. Even if they would have given it to him, beratzon. Even if he wouldn't have to ask. Willingly, they would have said, "We want to give you a donkey. What? I rent it to you and things like that." He didn't take it. Dichtiv. This Bnei say telling Moshe Shmuel and Avi, "You're right. You didn't take anything from us. Velo ratzotanu." Which means you didn't take anything from us. And the word Lord Sotanu, which means even willingly, where we wanted to rent something to you and give it to you, you didn't want to take it from us. Therefore, the difference of Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe might have taken if it was given to him willingly. Where Moshe Rabbeinu would just say, I didn't rent it against your will. Whereas Shmuel says, even willingly, I did not take anything from Christ. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amos. How do you know Amos was a wealthy man? Dechtiv, Vayan Amos Vayomer El Amatzia. Amatzia was one of the prophets that prophesied for the Nevi'ah Baal, for Yerovam ben Nevat. So Amatzia and Amos had words amongst themselves. So the prophet Amos tells Amatzia, Lo Navi Anochi Velo Ben Navi Anochi, Kiboker Anochi Uboles Shikmim. Amos refers to himself as a boker and somebody as boles shikmim. What does this mean? The metargem Rabbi Yosef, are mare gete ana. I'm a man of flock, meaning mare gete means a man that has a lot of sheep. The shikma, a shepherd that has a lot of flock. The shikmin li b'shifleta, and I cut the shikamim, or I have the shikamim in the valley. Shikamim were like sycamore trees. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of trees as well. So you see why he must have had a lot of wealth and a lot of trees and things like that. That's from Amos. Come to Gemara continues. Yonah, I didn't know Yonah was wealthy. Dictive. It says when Yonah was going on the boat, running away from Hashem, so he got in a boat to Tarshish. So this is Vayitin Sechara. I paid it, paid the money, its ways. The fair, but yet it bani we got on the boat. Amar Rabbi Yochanan shenatan sechara shel sefina kula. He paid, he chartered the whole boat. He paid for all the money himself. Seems that the sailors, they weren't traveling, and they didn't have enough customers. So he came along and said, "I'll pay for the whole amount, so you have money, so you don't lose money." Must have had a lot of money. So it says, "Shenatan sechara shel sefina kula." Amar Rabbi Romanus sechara shel sefina. He rented the entire boat, and how much does that cost? Havya arba'at alafim dinre dahaba. 4,000 golden coins. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, betechila originally, haya Moshe lamed Torah umeshakeha. Moshe was learning the Torah, and he studied it, and he forgot it. And he reviewed it again, and he forgot it, time after time. Ad shenitna lo b'matanatil, was given to him in a gift. Shene'emar v'yiten il Moshe kechaloto ledaber ito. So the pasuk Vayiten. Vayiten is master, but at the end God gave it to him as a matana, as a gift, because he kept on forgetting it. So therefore, Bnei Olam gave it as a gift. Comes the new Mishnah. We're learning a case where, let's say, you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven comes along and says, "I'm not going to have any hana'ah from Shimon." He makes a neder. So now we're continuing to discuss the different things that Shimon cannot do or can do for Reuven, even though Reuven was Madir Hana'ah, right? Said that he's forbidden to have Hana'ah from Shimon. So comes the Gemara and Mishnah begins. Vezan et ishto ve'et banav. Interesting. Shimon is still allowed to support with Mezonot, the wife of Reuven, ve'et banav. Ve'af al pi shu hayav b'mezonotav. Even though Reuven is hayav to support them, al chaura, we have to understand this this mishnah over here. Chaura is giving him a hana'ah. How could he give him the mezonot for his wife and for his son? And didn't he madir hana'ah? So the different ways of learning this mishnah over here. So someone to say like this. Yeah, well, let's see the Ran. First, Zanet Eshtovet Banav, Afilu Kerabbanan Atya. Which means, first of all, we have a machloket between Rabbanan and Hanan. Hanan held that if a person supports his wife, it's not really giving him hana'ah, it's considered Mavrihari. You're just pushing the lion away from the person from coming and having claims. Which means it's not a positive, you're not giving a positive necessarily, it's like just pushing away a creditor. And according to Hana'ah, pushing away creditor is not considered a Hana'ah, because otherwise the wife would come to the husband. So he's like, he's staving her off by giving the mizunot. So that's one understanding. It's not a direct Hana'ah, so to speak, it's just pushing off a creditor. That's one way of interpreting. That's what I say over here. There's a machloket, I'm reading over here in the Perush. Hanan and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, and we learned the Masechet Ketubot as well. B'anyan mefanes eshet chavero. A person, let's say, gives his friend's wife panasa, im yachol litbo ma'ba'al shi'pra lo, ma shi'otzi b'mezonot ishto. Can he then go to the husband and have claims? And it's like, I supported your wife, give me my give me the money back. So we learned, the husband doesn't give his friend anything. Mutar and badil lefro chobot shel mudar shememash enu yachol litboa menu mash shishilem. The fact that she's Shimon, can I go to Reuven and say, pay me back what I paid your wife? Anu roim sheeno lekemavriyah hari. All it is just pushing the line away. Shemisalek menu hefsed da'ati davoa. That's all it is. You're stopping Reuven from a potential loss that would come upon it. It's not considered giving him a hana'ah. So that's the opinion of Hana. That's the way we understood our Mishnah. That you just, he can't even have a claim against him. Ela what? You just pushed away a loss that might have come to Reuven. That's not considered giving him a hana'ah. Aval adat hachamim said that the Baal hayav, he's hayav to pay. So therefore, mamash, you gave him a hana'ah. Which means, mamash, you benefited me. Reuven has to pay back. You gave me hana'a, you paid my debt, and I got to pay you back. So, can you learn this according to the rabbis? So, we said, so then someone said to Mishnah, don't only go according to Hanan. It's not considered a hana'a, which is the husband can say, you didn't give me an hana'a. You took care of this lady, so you don't have claims against me. But according to the banan, no, it's hana'a, which means Reuven has to pay back Shimon. So Tosfot learns that our Mishnah cannot be going like the Shita of the Rabbanan. Someone say it even is going like the Shita of the Rabbanan. How? Abemet eshal la'amid mishteru gam nedat hachamim. Shalom lo hachamim shal yav abal lefroa elekes shemifarnes otab bistam. When did hachamim say that the Rabbanan has to pay Shimon? That's when he just gave her the money, Shimon, stam, without being explicit. But im omer befirush shemifarnes otab betot matana. But if he said, no, I'm giving you this parasa as a matana, and a baal chayav lo klum. He does not have to compensate him at all. And therefore, we can learn the case of the Mishnah Torah where he gave it as a matana. And therefore, even according to Chachamim, it's not considered a hana'a. So it's a big chadush of the Mishnah. Reuven makes a hana'a. Then because Shimon could support the children and his wife. And since according to Hanan, the husband has no claims, which means that the husband Shimon has no claims against Reuven. So therefore, you see, it's not a hana'a really according to the Hanan, the way Hanan's learning. And therefore, and even according to Hachamim, in certain situations, he doesn't have to pay back Reuven. So therefore, it's not considered hana'a. Therefore, it's not in the isur over. So we read again: Bezar teshtovet barav afpish shuhayav bezrota belo yazun. But Shimon should not support it beemto, the animals of Reuven, ben teme'a, ben teora, whatever type of animal it is. Why? Because by feeding his animals, they become more expensive now. Become fatter, now they have a bigger value. So you gave him a hana. Even though you didn't give it directly to Reuven, but you gave it to his assets. You fattened up his animals. I don't care if it's a kosher animal or not kosher animal. You cannot feed his animals. The B, the Ezra Omer, Zan et ha-teme'a. Ve'eno zan et ha-teora. And he says, no. The B, the Ezra says, you could feed the teme'a animal, but you cannot feed the teora. Now what's the difference? Bottom line, you're fattening up his animals. So they tell the Bidi Ezer, what's the difference? Why are you saying you can feed the Teme'ah but you cannot feed the Teorah? Amar Lehu, he says, Shateorah nafsha l'shamayim. When you slaughter the Teorah, nafsha l'shamayim, when you give it to the Shamayim, its nefesh back to the Shamayim, who does the body belong to? V'gufa shelo. The body becomes his if he gets to eat it. Therefore, by feeding the Torah animals, you're giving it over in a hana'ah, that when he slaughters it, he's going to have more meat. However, what happens when you slaughter a teme'ah? Nafsha ve'gufa l'shamayim. The teme'ah can't do anything with it. Once you slaughter it, it belongs all to the shamayim. You can't eat it. Therefore, you do not get a hana'ah. Look at the Iran. Back on the Amud Rishon. The B'di'ezum el zanet the teme'ah can be finished. Versus kivan she'en ba lemudar ana achila. He goes with the achila hana. Since you can't eat the teme'ah, enu nelev zonotav shel madir v'gufat shelo. But by the Torah, the body belongs to him. La'achila ilkach im mefatem la'amanela v'atteme'ah nafshav k'var l'shamayim she'en lo ba'etel achila v'nimsal she'enu ne'ene befotma'ah. You're not giving him any hana'ah by fattening it up. Comes the Gebishtai, continues and says, what do you mean? Amru lo. Yes, I agree. That when you slaughter it, the nefesh goes back to the shamayim. But the body belongs to the owners, to the Reuven. How? Can he sell it to a goy? So therefore, and the meat got the more value now because it's fattened up. Therefore, he shouldn't be allowed to feed even the teme'ah. Or makil al kelavim. Or yes, tovat tana is able to give it to the dogs. So therefore, you see what? That there is a hana even by a teme'ah. Ran. She'im yirtze harezu mukhra le'ovde kukhavim. She'okhlim ota. Right, the goyim eat teme'ah animals. U'shim mefutemet lukhim ota biyoter. Right, when it's fattened up, they take it for more money. Therefore, according to the Hakamim, they say what? You're not allowed to give Reuven's animal, not none of the animals' food. Because bottom line, even by a Teme'ah animal, even though Reuven cannot eat the animal, but bottom line, he can't sell it now for more money. Or Machil al Kelabim, or he can give it to the dogs. Venimsa me'anene befotma v'ribuy besara. He has big hana'ah from the more fattening of the meat. Now, even Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to sell an animal to goy. You can't sell it on b'kvi'ut, maybe you can't sell a teme'ah animal to a goy. When Rabbi Eliezer lo shari b'teme'ah, that which Rabbi Eliezer was matir to feed a teme'ah, ela lazunam mezonot yeterim kede lefatema'ah. It's only talking about the excess. Even if the animal, if the teme'ah is dying and needs food to eat to live, that's considered nehene. The Ezra was only matir, the animal already is satiated. He's only matir to fatten it up will be permissible. But to feed the animal kedeh lihyot in order for it to live, even the Ezra is going to say, that's considered giving hana'ah to Reuven. Rebbe's logic is like this. The main purpose of a teme'ah animal is for what? For work. The owners do not benefit from having a fat animal. On the contrary, the adraba. On the contrary, you're going to spoil it. You make it now going after food. It's not going to want to work. It's going to want to eat all day long. And plus, it becomes heavier. It's not able to move around so much. So therefore, he owes adraba. Fattening is no good. But the food that it needs for sustenance to live. Lo shari Rabbi Eliezer, the bechiyai gadna v'day mehaneu, v'day, that's considered a definite hana'ah. And then the Ran just proves it. So that's a very important point. That which the Eliezer says, you're allowed, Reuven, Shimon is allowed to feed the teme'ah animal of Reuven, that's only above and beyond what it needs to live. But what it needs to live, even the Eliezer is going to be osir, because bottom line, you're giving it a hana'ah, right? You're saving money on its food. But on the over and above to fatten it up, Rabbi Eliezer says, nah, fattening it up, you're hurting Reuven. Adrabah, for sure it's mutar. Because that's not going to work as good. Comes the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Hananya. Amar Rav Huna. Hamudar ana amachavero. Okay, guy made a neder against his friend. We'll see exactly who made a neder against who. Mutar lasilo bito. He could give him his daughter to marry. He could give him his the daughter in order to marry him off to that person. Now, who made a neder to? We'll see now. Haviba Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera analyzed. Bemai askinan. What are we talking about over here? Ilema bishnichse avikala. Okay, let's call the avikala Shimon. If let's say the father of the bride, Shimon, asurin alehatan, are asur on the Hatan. Hatan is Reuven, which is Reuven is osating himself to Shimon. He's saying, the property and the assets of Shimon are asur to me. So it says, Harem osir lo shifcha l'shamesho. He's giving him ana'ah. By giving him his daughter, he's giving him a servant. Now, what is the wife going to do? The wife's going to serve him. And therefore, he's having hana'ah from the property of Shimon, especially if she's a ketana, so therefore Shimon gives her over. Shimon is able to marry his daughter when she is a ketana. Therefore, gives her over. Now he has a servant. So therefore, what do you mean? If Reuven's asut avana from Shimon, how could you tell me Shimon can give over his daughter to marry Reuven? So comes again what says, Ela benikseh hatan asurin al abi kala. I want to say the case is talking about Nikse Hatan. Who's the Hatan? Nikse Hatan is Reuven. Asurin ala bikala. Which means Shimon is Asurta Vana'a from Reuven. Okay, that we understand. If Shimon's Asurta Vana'a from Reuven, but he can give him his daughter to marry. Right? Because Reuven's having the Hana'a, not Shimon. So that must be the case. When Shimon is a sutanarav of Reuven, and the statement is what? Shimon can give over his daughter to Reuven. So what do you mean? Why are you only telling me that case? Tell me, did we have a statement that even tells me a bigger hadush, and that, if that's the case. Gidolam mizu amru. We even said more than that. Zan et ishtov et banav. Didn't we learn our Mishnah just now? Even though Shimon is asur to have hana'a from Reuven, so still we're saying what? Ve'afal pi shu hayav v'mezonotan ve'at amart mutar lasi lo bito. Which means already we have a bigger hiddush that Shimon is allowed to give support to the wife of Reuven, and to the wife of Reuven. We have another statement besides the Hatan Kala case that Shimon can give hana'ah to Reuven directly by giving him panasa for his wife and children, which is the direct hana'ah. So you have to tell me that he can give him his daughter to get married? If Shimon is allowed to give actually money directly to Reuven to support his wife and children, do you have to tell us? Of course, we're not saying give him his daughter. That's less direct. Look at the Ran, the way he learns it. Gedolah mizu. Look at the Ran. Gedolah mizu amru. Zal teshtov et banav. Ata abat mutal lasi lo bito. Kelomar. Mu yakol lasi lo bito. Veodah berushto. That's the point. If you're allowed, if Shimon could support the daughter of Reuven when she's still by Reuven, which is Reuven's daughter, you can support her. Shu hayav mizonotah, and that's when Reuven's hayav bin the mizonot. Kol sheket sheyochal lazonotah achar shenasah shetchayev bimizonot eshto. Umay kama shel avuna. So all the more so sheyochal lazonotah achar shenasah shetchayev bimizonot eshto. All the more so he'll be able to be mezinim after he becomes his wife. Let's review this again. We have a bigger statement. Shimon has a daughter. Right? It's and Shimon's asut havana'ah from Reuven. And still the statement says, Gedolah mizu, Reuven could support Shimon's daughter. Even though the obligation of support is really on Shimon. Like we learned early in the Mishnah, that's not considered being and therefore if Reuven can support Shimon's daughter when the obligation of mizunot is on Shimon, Kol Sheken, he could support his daughter when it's his, when it's his wife. So then you don't have to tell me that Shimon can give the wife to the Reuven. That's a coach again. So we're back to the question. What's the case where you told me you have a mudarana scenario between Reuven and Shimon, and one of them can give the wife the daughter over to be their wife? What's the case where you have a hadush? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the case. Gemara says, Le'olam b'shenikse avikala asun lahatan. Reuven is asur to have ana'a from Shimon, like we learned earlier. So if Reuven is asur to have ana'a from Shimon, so how can he give him over his daughter? He's giving over a maid, right? So it says, ubibito bogeret umedata. Nah, he's not giving over anything. The daughter already is an older girl. She's 12 and a half years old, where the father does not marry off. She went on her own. And therefore, it's not that Shimon's giving the ana'a. So the girl has doubt enough to go marry herself off. So therefore, he's allowed to have an ah. He also did himself marrying an ah from Shimon. You're right. If the girl's a ketana or na'ala, who's in charge of giving her over? The father. Then Shimon is mamash giving over an asset. Mashiach, if she's a bogeret, she's already of age. She can marry herself off. She doesn't need the father. That already is permissible. So that's the case. Tanya na miachem of a bright that is supported. Tamudar ana me havero asu la silo bito. Aval masio bito bogeret umedata. That's the same bright. That in the bright, Reuven is utavana from Shimon. Shimon cannot give his daughter over when she's a ketana or ne'ara. But if she's a bogeret, she can go on her own. Amar Yaakov. We have the next case. Hamudar beno l'talmud Torah. Person has a son. He wants a son to study Torah all day. Doesn't want to have any bitu Torah that his son should have. So he says, you know what? I'm osering myself to have an afra from my son. Because he doesn't want his son to be interrupted. He has to do him errands and things like that. He just wants him to sit and study Torah all day. I'm setting myself to have any ana'ah for my son, so that we can just be free to study Torah all day long. The point of this Gemara is going to be, but there's certain menial tasks that you can assume the father never intended to forbid himself on his son. And then with the mutal lemalot lo habit shel mayim, the father still has a right to tell that son, you know, fill me up a barrel of water. Oh, that leak lo etanir. Oh, you know, to light for him a candle. That's considered like a menial thing that we assume that the father never had intention. Also, let's say to roast from a a small fish, that's also considered permissible. Look at the Ran, the third line. Hamadir et beno le Talmud Torah. Ha'abed dirosh lo yehne abiv emenu kedesh lo yitbatem et Talmud Torah. That's one of the sort of any bitul Torah. Mutar ben malot abiv habit shel maim udik lo taner. The mistamak, she could assume, memile zutre, from small things, ki hane, the leka behu bitul limud Torah. It's not so much bitul Torah to do these chores. Lo adre. He did not make a neder on him. Vaki mukach ki perushav to sevtad bechor de tanya maase behad shel sabron tamut Torah v'dirom la'asuk b'dakha v'tir lor b'yosef b'nevudah v'to habit shel ma'am v'dikmo atanel. Like some of the rabbis, there was a story over there that says the guy was madir the son against the stuff from having an hand. The rabbi said the son is allowed to fill the father up a barrel of water and also do a service for him on the lighting the ned. Now he brings Yerushalmi. The Iran. Let's read the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Masiket Bikurim Tani. Hamadir Benol Tamut Torah. Again, a person said, I don't have any ana for my son. Mutal Mutna Habit Shel Ma'im Odikul Taner. Yaakov Bar Idi Beshev Rabbi Yohanan Af Nikach Lo Hafasim Min Hashuk. Rabbi Yohanan comes and says the son can even go to the shuk, to the store, and buy for his father items. Now that's a new thing. We didn't say that over here. We just said filling up the barrel and lighting a ner. Now the Gemara Yerushalmi is saying he can even go to the store, to the shuk, and bring back goods. What's the machloket over here? Mapaligin can be ish, can be isha. They want to make a haluk between a man and a lady. What does it mean? Imaya adam misuyam. But if he's an adam chashuv, asu ota ki isha. So again, adam chashuv and isha have one law. Then you have a regular kid, regular boy. Well, what's the haluk? She says, "Kolomat the isha ve'adam misuyam, a lady and adam misuyam, a chashuv person, and darkam nikah hafatzim min hashuk." They don't go to the marketplace. I guess it's public. Adam chashuv doesn't go to the market to buy things and in the shuk. And therefore, ve'anan tzadi da'adate da'achi lo adre. And therefore, you could assume that for these things he did not osir him. Because they don't go to the shuk usually, these people. So therefore, he never had this in mind. Aval, and therefore, he can go to the shuk for him because he never thought about these things when he made the neder. Aval, ish eno mesur, kivan shedar kolech bashuk. In the case where a regular guy who usually goes to the marketplace, afidu b'ani adre. It's a reverse logic over here. The ones that normally go, like a regular guy would go to the shuk, so you'd say, you know what, for this, afidu b'ani adre. He made a neder on him. I don't want to have an af from you. And if one shita says only barrel and the ned, but not going to the shuk. However, on adam hashuv, the normally doesn't go to the shuk anyway. So he wasn't thinking about that during the neder. Now, if he wants to tell him to go to the shuk, he'd be able to because he never thought about that at the time of the neder. That's the different shita. Adam hashuv and a regular person. Comes the Gemara and continues next case. Amar Birmiya, Amar Biyuchanan, Amudar Na Mechavero. Okay, guy makes a neder against his friend, doesn't want to have from his friend. Mutal ashkoto, he still can makes a neder. I don't want to have any ana from Shimon. Shimon is allowed to give him kos shel shalom. So Gemara says, ma yeninu nihu? What is this kos shel shalom? Ha'akha targimu kos shel bet avel. That's the kos of the mourners that used to give the avelim. Let's say a cup of wine. They would give the avelim in order to calm them down. So the Chantush is that even though Reuven makes a neder, not the Vana from Shimon, but we assume that he didn't go to that level that he doesn't want to have an Hashem if he's an Avel, and then we can give him Koshel Avel. B'ma'arava Amre, Koshel Bet HaMerchas. That's referring to the cup of water they used to give after the person would come out of the Bet HaMerchas, the bathhouse. I guess they needed to hydrate themselves, so they give him a cup of water to give him life. So therefore, he wasn't referring to that. That's called koshel shalom. Now, what's the logic? So look at the Ram. Mutal ashkoto koshel shalom. Kolomar mutal shemsho bekoshel bet avel. Ina mishu bet merchas. Terkesh shalom. That's what's called koshel shalom. Because it's terkesh shalom. The person comes out of the bathhouse. If you're not going to give him a glass of water, it's going to cause friction. Umiyu dafkai koshel mudar. But who does the water belong to? Who does the wine belong to? To Reuven. All Shimon is doing it is serving it them. However, בכל זה בלבד התירו, דומיית אידך, דם מדיר לבנו לתמוד תורה, שתירו לבן למלות לאביב מים משל אב, just like in the case of תמוד תורה. The son that was able to fill the barrel up for the father, whose water is it? The father's water. All that we're talking about is service. But he cannot give him a mamashana. Which is if Shimon is paying for the cup of water or paying for the cup of wine to give it to Reuven, then Reuven is having mamasha ana. So we're only discussing over here the enyan of the service that he can give him the pass in the cup to do the shimush. Comes the Gemara and continues below yezun et beimto. Right, we learned in our Mishnah we had a machloket. Right, can he feed him the behemah timea or not? Okay, the Bili Ezer said yes. Tanakama said no. Tanya, we have a third shitana. Yeshua ish uza omer zan abadav v'shifchotav hakenanim. That we have it again. Reuven was said himself cannot have enough from Shimon. Shimon can feed the servants of Reuven. Ve'lo yezun et behemto, but he cannot feed his animals. Ben teme'a ben teora. So according to this shita, he cannot feed any of his animals. Why? My tama avada v'shifchota v'kenanim l'minichiruta avidan, which means the word l'minaharuta avidan is you can have no hana'a from them. You can't slaughter them, and therefore you have no hana'a from giving them food. It's different gersaot of them. I'll give you one gersaot at a time. And therefore, since you have no hana'a from them, look at the Rashi. He has our gersa. L'minaharuta avidan l'tzorech avoda asuin. And that's how he's learning the word l'minaharuta. L'minaharuta means the surah avoda, ve'lo netpatem. And therefore, you don't give them food in order to fatten them up. So therefore, he's coming along and saying, you can give the shifahot. By giving them extra food, it's not giving them mamashay hanai. You don't care if they're fat. Adrabah, if they're fatter, it's harder for them to work, like we said, right? So therefore, since for the shifahot and the avadim, giving them extra food is even counterproductive. Again, we're talking about only more than they need to live. If you're giving them what they need to live, then vada is going to be asur, just like we said according to the Bili Ezer, by the behemah tameah. We're talking about over here giving them to fatten them up, that'll be mizvah. So then why can't you give the animals? So Gemara says, behemah lefutma avida. But the animal, avida to make them fat. Why? Maybe not for working purposes, but maybe if after they die, you could sell it and get more money for their meat. So therefore, ben teora, ben tema is going to be a. So that's with the Iran. Again, same point. Talking about only excess. You can't feed, Shimon cannot feed the shifahot what they need to live. Which is this rabbi who is called Yeshua ben Uza. He's going back to be the Ezer. That which should be the Ezer allowed to give the animal who's a Timea to mifatim him, to give him more food than he needs, because he held that what? That only slows the animal down. He argues on that. He says, you know what? Even an animal that's tema, you can't give it excess. You cannot give it excess food. Why? Because why? You'll sell it, and he'll make more money to the kavim. Look at the language over here. Different language. What's mankeruta? They're cleaning up. You don't want a fat servant. Their purpose is what? To clean up. That we don't sell them and things like that. We don't eat them as well. So therefore, by fattening them up, it's no hana'at to the owner. That's one interpretation. The nihiruta, according to this interpretation, means they just left. If they're going to get slaughtered, what do you do to the avid if he gets slaughtered? Leave it there. You don't do anything to him. You don't eat him. So therefore, there's no hana'a. So there's two different gersot of ilan min karuta. They're just for cleaning purposes, or they're just therefore to be left. The min haruta means if they're slaughtered. What's the language he has? Which means okay. I mean,
killing them.
Right. After they die, you leave them there to
cannibals.
you don't eat them. Well, yeah. It's a servant. The point is, according to, it comes out, we have three shittot. Let's review the three shittot in the Mishnah. Because the Haftarah Kama that says, you can feed ben tehora ben teme'ah, kanat, ben tehora ben teme'ah. What's the reason? Because tehora, you'll eat. You slaughter it, you eat it. That's hana'a right away. Teme'ah, you'll sell it or feed it to the dogs. Good. According to the Bili Aizir, tehora, no, because you can have hana'a. Teme'ah, yeah. Because he don't look at it from the purpose of from selling it and things like that. He looks at it from eating purposes. Yeah. Bottom line, I can't eat it, teme'ah. So I'm not getting a hana'a. And anyway, to have it fatter is counterproductive, according to the Bili Aizir. Because he says, what about you? It's not going to work as hard. Because that's the Bili Aizir Shita. Now, granted, the Ram pointed out that even according to the Bili Aizir, would be asur to feed the teme'ah when it needs to live. Because that's giving the uven a hana. Okay, that's that. Now we have the Shita of Yehoshua Ish Uzzah. He comes along and says that what? Lo yezunu b'emto ben teme'ah ben teorah. He comes along and says that you cannot feed not the Torah, which everybody agrees, and not even the Teme'ah. Now, it's going back on the Bili Aizir. He thinks that which the Bili Aizir was Matir, to give the Teme'ah food. He's coming along and saying that it's Asur. Why? Because it's Lefotma Avida. I argue on that. He said because you do want to fatten it up. What? To sell it. And because you want to fatten it up to sell it, so if it's going to be Asur as well, because you have different shittot over here. Right, he argues on the Bili Aizir. Very good. But his chiddush is what? Avadav and Shifchotav are mutarim. Ruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.